12. This morning, we're going to continue in our sermon series on the church. Amen? We are the people who are sitting in this room today. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the twinkle in the eye of our Lord Jesus. We are His pride and we are His joy. We have accepted His love without ever seeing Him or touching Him, but we feel His presence in all that we see and all that we do. We have seen in this study where the church came from, where the church is ultimately headed, what the church should be doing, how the church should be reaching out to the lost world. And last week we saw that we, the church, should be led by the Holy Spirit of God to do what He's called us to do. Now, today as we continue our series, I want us to see that there has always been and always will be those who try to kill Christianity. Have y'all seen it in Scripture? There have always been people and there always will be people who try to kill Christianity. I want us to see this morning and see how we as Christians, the church that God loves so much, the twinkle in His eye, how we should react towards these people trying to kill Christianity. Now listen, I don't want you to shut me off. I don't want you to turn me off, because I think it's going to be kind of surprising to you to see who it is, and not only in Scripture, but in the world today, who is trying to kill Christianity. So y'all stay with me. Look with me in John chapter 12 and verse 9. John 12, verse 9. Should be very familiar Scripture. Then a large crowd of Jews learned He was there, being Jesus. And they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one who He had raised from the dead. Therefore the chief priests decided also to kill Lazarus, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You right now asking You to still our hearts. Lord, prepare our minds, God, to hear this message and this word from You. Lord, I pray that You would just help us, Lord, to see it, to retain it, to walk out these doors here in a few minutes to our mission field, the place that You've given us to serve You, Lord, to serve You in a greater way. Lord, we thank You for this time of worship so far. Lord, help us now to feast in Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Did you see in just those short few verses, something just took place, and it was unbelievable. Did you see what the chief priests had just decided to do? What was it they decided to do? Listen, they decided to kill Christianity. They had enough. They were going to do everything they could possibly do to kill Christianity. Their plan was now set in place. These Jewish leaders had put up with Christianity long enough. They had put up with this Jesus who was working miracles all over the regions, changing hearts and lives of people, and listen, drawing large crowds. They'd had enough. We're going to do something now, and we're going to take care of this Christianity. These Jews were tired of Jesus preaching and the people listening. They were listening, and they were tired of it. They were tired of the people following these new moral codes and not following their worthless commands. They were tired. They were full of it. So the plan was now set in place to kill Christianity. Well, Brother Kyle, what in the world are you talking about? Do you understand who they wanted to kill? Look at chapter 12, verse 10 again. It says, therefore, the chief priests decided also to kill Lazarus. Well, who was the main plan? Who were they planning on killing altogether from the beginning? Who were they wanting to kill? Jesus. Now, does this make sense to you? That these guys, they wanted to kill Jesus. They had seen everything that Jesus has done. They had seen everything that He'd ever done. And yet they still wanted to kill Him. Why? Because Jesus was taken away from their crowd. Jesus was taken away from their popularity. Jesus was drawing all these people. They were following all these new moral codes that Jesus was setting in place. And they weren't following every single one of those worthless commands, those additions that they had made to the laws of God. They were a little upset, weren't they? So they were going to do something about it. But secondly, they were going to do something not only about Jesus, they were going to do something about Lazarus. Now, y'all heard me say this, especially in Wednesday night crowd, I make reference to this quite often. They were wanting to kill Lazarus because Lazarus was a living testimony of who Jesus was. Big time. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Kyle? He was dead and in the grave longer than 3 days. Well, what's the big deal? According to Jewish tradition, here he goes with Jewish tradition again. You've already told us this. Yeah, but I'm telling you again, Brother Frank, because I want y'all to remember. I want you to remember this on your own. According to Jewish tradition, if the body laid in the grave for over 3 days, on the fourth day, the spirit did what? Left. It departed, according to Jewish tradition. Now, we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Spirit's gone. But these Jews, they were very superstitious. They were very methodical, very traditional. They thought the spirit loomed over the body for 3 days. And on the fourth day, it took off. It went wherever it was going to go. So Jesus waited on Lazarus 4 days. He was very purposeful. Why? So there was no way they could deny that this man was not dead. He was dead, 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 and Jesus raised him from the dead. They wanted to kill Lazarus because he was a testimony that they could not deny of who Jesus was, and that's the Messiah. So their plan was set. We're going to go, and we're going to kill Jesus, and we're going to kill Lazarus also. Now, please let there be no doubt. It was the enemy, Satan, that put the thoughts in the heads of these Jewish leaders to kill Jesus and to kill Lazarus. But ultimately, it's Satan's goal to not kill just Jesus and kill Lazarus. It's to kill all of Christianity. Y'all with me? That's his goal. Satan's job is to kill Christianity. But church, I want you to also see that these same Jewish leaders had to dispel tons of prophetical information to deny that Christ, to deny Christ, and to try to kill Christianity. To put their plan in motion, they had to overlook a lot. They had to overlook a tremendous amount of information. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Well, the number one was the Messianic prophecies. To even want to kill Jesus, they had to overlook, well, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter that there were over 300 Messianic prophecies fulfilled through Christ. Well, it doesn't matter. We're going to kill him anyway. Why? Because he's disturbing our peace. He's taking away from our popularity. People are following him and not us. They overlooked over 300 Messianic prophecies to go ahead and kill Christ. That's not all. Listen, they had to overlook the miracles of Jesus. All of them. All of them. Let's kill the man who brought sight to the blind. Let's kill the man who touched a woman and her blood issues, she touched him just by the hem of his garment, and her blood issues dried up instantaneously. Let's kill the man who healed multiple times an incurable disease of that day, which was leprosy. Let's kill him. That's a lot to overlook, it. It really is. But they were overlooking it all. They were going right past it and still wanting to kill Jesus. They had to overlook the sinless perfection of Jesus. How many of y'all, when your children were little, and I know this happened, this had to happen to y'all. Ryan, this probably happened to y'all last night. How many of y'all, you see your children doing something, and you know, hey, listen, this is a beatable offense in the house. Y'all see them doing this, right? Gidget, are you paying attention? Y'all need to pay attention. But because, listen, you're getting ready to face this here before too long with that baby. You see your child doing something, and it is a beatable offense. And you confront your child, and they'll look at you and they'll say one of two things, usually, when it's a beatable offense and you've got the paddle in your hand. They'll say, I didn't do it. Or three things. I didn't mean to do it. Or it's his fault. Y'all with me? Why? Because they're back there. Yep, that happened last night. Why? Because they don't want the beating. They don't want it. Right? Listen, these Jews, they looked at Jesus, and Jesus hadn't done anything. They knew, I mean, they tried and tried and tried to trap him, contain him, trap him in his own words, and they lied about things that Jesus said, especially about destroying the temple. He wasn't talking about destroying the temple. He was talking about destroying his temple. His temple was going to be destroyed. And on the third day, hey, listen, I'll destroy this temple, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. You can't build. This took over 40 years to build. What are you talking about? You're going to destroy the temple. Listen, they tried everything they could to catch Jesus with his own words. But church, listen, they had to overlook his sinless perfection. He didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing, listen, really, even if they thought that he did something wrong, nothing that he did was wrong enough for the death penalty. Nothing. They had to trap him. They had to overlook that. Listen, the Jewish leaders had to overlook the new moral standards that he set. New converts were now following these moral standards. And listen, it was making a change in the areas they lived. It's okay. Hey, listen, they won't stay that way long. Let's kill him anyway. Look at the good that's happening because of Christianity and the messages that he's preaching. Oh, listen, that ain't going to last long. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. Not only that, listen, they had to overlook the speed of the spreading of the gospel and the hunger that people had for the truth. Do you know that the world today is still hungering for the truth? They want the truth. They want the real deal. And that's one thing that really infuriates your pastor. Is this new generation, this generation right here, that's being basted with and blasted by the media, telling them a whole bunch of lies, which we're going to talk about here in a second. They want the truth. And we've got Christians in every church and every, listen, that are so ignorant of the scriptural truth, they can't even tell them the truth. Listen, we ought to be so interested in the Word of God and knowing what the truth is about the Word of God that we can tell them the truth. One of the reasons the world is in the way it is, listen, we've got grown people that scripturally are babies. Scripturally, you're babies. You can't defend Christianity. All of the moral and ethical issues that are taking place on a daily basis in the news, listen, and instead of you defending what the Bible says is to be true, a lot of Christians today and even pastors are caving and saying, you know, well, things are different today. We probably need to just, you know, accept them and love people the way they are. Well, yeah, we do need to love them where they are, but we don't need to accept their sin as sin because Scripture says it's sin. Amen? So, what else, Brother Kyle? What else did they have to overlook? The spreading of the gospel. The gospel was spreading like wildfire. Oh, it's not a big deal. They were hungry for the truth. It's not a big deal. Do you see how much they had to overlook to kill Jesus? They had on this day to look past their very own cry, church. These Jewish leaders had made a plea to Jesus. They cried out to Jesus. They had to look past their own cry, not just for a miracle, but a wonder. In previous chapters, they'd asked Jesus to perform such an event, and Jesus said no at this time. But for some reason, Jesus had given them such a wonder when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And yet now they stand ready to not only kill the head of the Christian movement, but they were ready to kill anything that drew others to that movement. They were wanting to kill Christianity. Let's go kill Jesus. And that Lazarus dude he raised from the dead, that everybody's coming to Christianity because we're going to kill him too. We're going to kill the whole movement before it spreads 1 inch further. Do you think they were serious? Oh, yeah. Were they demented? Oh, yeah. They had some issues. They had some problems. Church, it amazes me at how Jesus had revealed himself over and over and over and over again, and yet those who cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, as Jesus walked into Jerusalem were some of the same people who cried, crucify him, just days later. That was then. This is now. No one's trying to kill Christianity today. That was then. This is now. No, nobody's trying to kill Christianity today. Let's do a poll in here this morning. Is anybody in this room trying to kill Christianity in this room? Anybody in here? Are you methodically in your mind? Okay, I'm going to kill Christianity. Anybody? Nobody. Nobody's raising your hand. Pay attention. You need to pay attention. And listen, as I preach the second half of this message, don't look and think of anybody else. Say, oh, well, I'm so glad that Ricky Tyre's in here this morning. He needed to hear this message. You think of yourself. Do you hear me? Who is it that's trying to kill Christianity? Well, let me just read some news articles from just this week alone to prove to you that the world, Satan, is still desiring, still trying to kill Christianity. Y'all ready for these news stories? Now, I'm not going to read the articles. I'm just going to read you the headlines. Y'all ready? Y'all still awake? Everybody with me? Everybody with me? I know it's getting warm in here. Y'all getting sleepy. I can see some. Y'all with me? Okay, good. Here we go. The illustrious Georgia born and bred Jimmy Carter said this past week. Jesus would not condemn homosexuality today. Are we recording this, Mike? We are recording this, right? We're on go. Mr. Carter, dear Mr. Carter, if you by chance hear me preaching this message, which I hope you do, I want to tell you a little something. God could care less what your opinion is on a subject that he's already covered from cover to cover. His word supersedes anything any man will ever say. Every day, all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That was just one article. Listen to some more articles about how Christianity is Satan still trying to kill it. Number two, pictures of dead Syrian Christians are real. That's an actual news story that's out there. I could have told them that it was real. They're killing Syrian Christians by the hundreds, maybe even thousands. And you know what we're doing? Here's another one. Why is Christianity in decline in America today? Well, one of the reasons is because you say it's in a decline. The media is just basting this group of people trying to mold your mind. Christianity's dying. Christianity's dying. Christianity's dying. It's dead. It's dying. Nobody's listening anymore. It's not popular. It's not popular to be a Christian anymore. It's dead. It's dying. It's dead. It's dying. If you tell somebody something long enough, guess what they're going to start doing? Believing it. Listen to me. Jesus said it ain't ever going to die. And I'm more inclined to believe Jesus than the NBC, ABC, CBS News, nightly news at 7 o'clock, amen? Or 6 o'clock, or whatever time it comes on. Here's another one. This was an actual news story. Empty churches. It's vacation time. It's hot outside. We're not empty. Amen? Here's another one. Should churches pay taxes? That's another one. Now listen to me. Christians, you've set on your moral standards, and listen, the last two times we've had a national vote, Christians and evangelicals have not gone out and voted. Let me tell you, the church is going to be in decline. Scripture says it's going to be in decline as Christ comes. We know that. But you want to see the church die, you sit on your vote and you don't vote. Because I'm telling you, listen to me. Our government, our illustrious government, they are coming after the church. You don't think they're coming, they are coming after the church. They're going to try and take our tax-exempt status away from them. Well, that ain't going to hurt us. It probably won't hurt us that bad. Until y'all stop giving again. You hear me? If everybody in here would tithe, oh my heavens, we could thumb our nose at the government and say, listen, come on. But you don't. So we have a reason to be kind of some, you know, the leadership to be somewhat apprehensive, but I think we can handle it today. These churches that are bigger churches, that have multiple buildings and multiple sites, if they have to pay taxes, they're going to shut down. They can't do it. There's no way they can do it. There's no way they can sustain themselves. It's legitimate. Well, what can we do? Get out and vote! Well, it's never made a difference. Well, yeah, let's try it again. Brother Kyle, listen, this is the last one. This was from this morning. Brother Frank, I just went in and looked this morning real quick to see if there was something new of how the Satan was trying to kill Christianity. A new news article. This is today's new news article. religiously unaffiliated is on the rise in the South and across the U.S. Religiously unaffiliated. What he's saying is people are now saying, I'm religiously unaffiliated. I'm not affiliated with anybody. This is on the rise across the South and the U.S. Now, why did they put the South there before they hit the U.S.? Because we're in the Bible Belt. You hear me? We're smarter than anybody else. Because we still believe that the gospel is the Word of God. It's still changing lives. We still believe it. Because we hadn't bought into the lie yet. It's coming, though. It's coming. Church, Satan's objective is to kill the church. The church of the Bible, listen, is the main goal of his today. Now, how is Satan trying to destroy the church today? Well, number one, I just touched on it. The media. The media is saturating, telling people all the time, the church is dying, the church is dying. Listen, Jesus is losing his influence and his relevance in culture today. And people are believing it. Brother Frank, he hasn't lost any influence in culture in my life. You can't look at it from a group as well as you should look at it from an individual. If Jesus is not relevant to you today, it has nothing to do with anything. It has everything to do with you. Everything to do with you. Now, you can fit into the mold of the outside, but listen, it has everything to do with you. It's not Jesus' fault you don't feel his presence anymore. Hey, listen, every time I haven't felt the presence of God, it had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with me. Get yourself where you need to be to feel the presence of God. Well, I don't know what to do. Well, start with reading the Word of God and getting down on your knees and fellowshipping with him. Go off and spend time with him. Turn the radio off, the TV off. Just walk in nature, sit in a body of water, and look up at the stars and just bask in his glory. It has everything to do with us. So the media is trying their best to kill. Listen, you can look at people's faithfulness. People are not as faithful to church like they used to be. Senior adults. Y'all remember 50 years ago? Hey, listen, people wouldn't, would they miss church? No. No, they wouldn't miss church. Listen, I remember when I first started going to church, when you were walking from Sunday school to church, all the men, they had a shirt on, and they, you know what they had in their pocket right here? No. Miss Edie, you just killed the whole message. Let's just pray and be dismissed. No, they had their tithe envelope, and they wanted everybody. They were proud that they were getting ready to put their tithe in the offering plate. Cigarettes. You don't see that hardly anymore. A church this size, listen to me, we ought to have to get bigger offering plates to hold everything that y'all put in. Some of them barely have anything in them. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. We're a part of the killing of Christianity. Listen, divisions in churches is killing Christianity. Satan is trying all that he can to do to create factions even within the church. Did you hear what she did? Did you see what she said? Did you see how she reacted? Hey, listen, Satan is trying everything he can to create, and listen, thank you, Jesus, this is the greatest church I've ever pastored or youth been a youth. I mean, this is the greatest pastor God's ever brought me to. I thank God. You don't see it that often. It happens, though. Satan tries his best to cause little factions to cause division. Listen, Satan uses Christianity, denominations, to cause the division. People on the outside look at Christianity and say, who's right, who's wrong? Well, I can't join a Methodist church because, you know, they might be wrong. Or are the Baptists right? Or are the Presbyterians right? Who's right? Who's wrong? Listen to me. Jesus is right. Denominations are wrong. I've told y'all this. I've never tried to hide it. Brother Kyle, you're a Southern Baptist. I'm proud to be a Southern Baptist. The only reason I am a Southern Baptist is because we support more missions than any other denomination. Do you hear me? We try our best to live by the Word of God. We don't compromise. There are some Southern Baptist churches who do, because we're autonomous. One of the greatest things about Southern Baptists is we're autonomous. What that means is we make our own governing decisions. Nobody is going to come in and say, listen, you either do this or we'll shut you down. They can't shut us down. They can't come shut me down. They can't do it. One of the worst things about being Southern Baptist is we're autonomous. We can do what we want to do. And there's some jackleg Southern Baptist preachers that are doing things that are against the Word of God. I am a Southern Baptist because of missions and the stand we take on the Word of God. But denominations create divisions. People on the outside, the lost world, look and say, hey, who's right, who's wrong? I'm not joining Christianity because I don't know who to join. Join Jesus. Join Jesus. Listen, let's get a little closer to home. I'm just about done. Y'all ready? We're going to get closer to home. It's getting ready to get good, and it's getting ready to get hot. Hope y'all got some steel-toe boots on. Remember that question I asked y'all? Is anybody in here trying to kill Christianity? Would you sign up to kill Christianity? Y'all ready? Listen, Christians being ashamed to be Christians are killing Christianity. Jason, did you hear that? Christians who call themselves Christians, who are ashamed to be Christians, are doing their best, you being used by Satan, to kill Christianity. Christians who love the world more than they love the church are killing Christianity. Christians who will not be the witness that the God has called them to be is killing Christianity. For all he has done for them, listen, all that he has done for each one of us, if we will not stand with him and for him, you're killing Christianity. We look at these early Jews that we just read about in John chapter 12, verse 9 through 11. We look at this story, and we look at these Jews with malice and contempt in our hearts because they would not see the signs that Jesus was their Messiah. And yet, we have the finished Word of God in our hands, multiple copies at our house, and we not only will not comply to Christ's commands, many know his word. Many have grown up in the church, and they still refuse to follow Jesus. You're killing Christianity. When you will not take a stand, when you will not serve God, when God puts something on your hearts to do and you refuse to do it, when you run from a call that you know God put in your life, you're killing Christianity. There's somebody who needs to hear what you have to say, and you look at God saying, I don't care what you say, you're killing Christianity. Church, Satan always has and always will try his best to destroy the church. Well, what can we as individuals do? Can we do anything? Yeah, we can. Number one, stand up for God and for the Word of God, even if you're standing alone. Even if you're standing alone, listen to me, and many times you will find yourself standing alone. But it's okay, because you're really not alone. Jesus is with you. Stand up even if you're standing alone. Number two, start right now doing what it is that God has called you to do. Listen, don't tell me that I'm the only person that God has ever called. He has called all of us to a very specific task. Do what God has called you to do. Brother Kyle, I don't know what it is that God's called me to do. Get in his word. Listen, I'm going to tell you the same thing that it was told to me. Get in his word. Get on your knees and give what God is due to him, and he'll reveal it to you. What that means is you need to read more, study more, pray more, and give more. We need to do this as well. We need to understand that the lies Satan is spreading are just that. They're lies. They're absolute, total lies. The church is not dead, nor will it ever die. Jesus said, as I told you a few weeks ago, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Church ain't never going to die. We'll decrease. We'll kind of, you know, fade back a little bit. But will the church ever die? Absolutely not. It'll always be a live, functioning organism. Lastly, let me ask you this. Last question. Are you helping to build His church? Or are you the reason the world thinks the church is dying? Are you, personally, are you helping to build the church? Not this church. I'm talking about the church, not the building. Are you helping to build the church of God, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are people looking at you and saying, yep, church is dying because of your testimony? It's one or the other. Which one is it? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for this message. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move right now in a way that only He can. Open our minds and help us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord, that we might be greater servants for you as we walk through these doors. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if the Lord has spoken to you through this message and you need to come down,